If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Ladies and gentlemen and theys, honey, welcome again to another episode of the Darren Green Show. Hey, what's going on? Good morning or good afternoon if you're listening to this podcast, because of course we drop the audio podcast every Sunday. How you guys doing? I want to say thank y'all so much over there on the YouTube platform. Last episode did phenomenal. You guys did your big ones. You guys were commenting and doing all the things. It was a good episode. I mean, well, here's my thing when it comes to I never know what y'all get into, because that episode was mainly about like guys. Like I was talking about dudes. Usually when I talk about dudes, it's not that much traction going on, but y'all really showed up and showed out for the topics, child. We gonna make sure we gonna keep the energy up from last episode. How you guys doing? There is a lot to get into. I don't have a weekend report. I'm not going to waste your time trying to fill this first part of the episode. We just going to get into the things. But before we get into the things, be sure to leave your thoughts in the comments, of course. Smash that like button. And if you're not already subscribed to the channel, what's going on? Subscribe to the goddamn channel. Okay, what's going on? We're at 9,000 subscribers. Okay, shout out to you guys, because I wouldn't be here if it was not for y'all. We are almost at 10K. When I get to 10K, because you know YouTube don't want to give out plaques. They only give out plaques when it's like 100,000. I'm going to make my own plaque and we're going to show it. I'm going to show it to y'all once it's created. But thank you. Thank you so much for your constant support. You know, and this is something that, you know, we've been working at for about 9 years. 9 years. Well, we coming up on 9 years after, I think, September. So it's all much love, much gratitude. And also for the audio listeners, hey, y'all not left out. Y'all are doing good on there too. Like I said, video content should be coming soon over there to Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Y'all already know, child. And all the audio podcast lands across the lands, child. Be sure to leave a rate and review. And also for the Apple Podcast listeners, definitely leave a comment, child, because we want to, you know, impact the charts over there, child. Now, anyway, we have a lengthy episode. We have a lot of topics. I do want to touch on the whole Shine v. Brandy and Ray J situation, because Shine is just doing a media circuit trying to explain how he really was like dating Brandy. Brandy denied it and he came back and was like, oh, well, she's lying. Okay, like, why are you doing a media circuit? Why are you on Way Up with Angela Yee? Stuff like that. Doja Cat sends her father gay corn, Okay, because we got to keep it PG. I said corn. Corn with a K. Yeah. Like, what's going on with that? Lotto had a child with a married man. We'll talk about that. Candy Burris, the divorce settlement came out and she had to pay this man what? And I heard she paying child support too. We got to talk about the Beauty and Black star Xavier Smalls and his thoughts on the LGBT community. We are still talking about these topics. Why do we make them viral? I don't know, but we're going to still talk about it. We also have to talk about the elephant in the room, and that is this Usher and Justin Bieber thing. Now, that's going to be a lot of speculation. I have a lot of things to say about it, but, you know, nothing more has come out but that story. So we'll get into it when we get into it. We'll probably talk about that in the middle of the show. But I want to start off, we can get started. You know, all that topics and more coming up on. Now, this is the Darren Green Show. Now, I want to get started with Chapel Rome. Yeah. Chapel. You know, y'all were trying to tone police me. Y'all were trying to gaslight me. Y'all were trying to say, oh my goodness, like, why are you? Because I went in on her on my other episode. I think it was a weekly app episode. And I called her a freaking prick because she is. Because you know what? There's people out there that love her. There's people out there that are fans of her that want, you know, to be in her good graces and want a picture and maybe want an autograph and this, that, and the third. And y'all over and you just acting the ass, got your security guard arguing and being real aggressive to women and children. Like, girl, y'all, we're going to get into it. Because the Brazilian football player, Georgino says that Chapel Rome security guard spoke to his wife and daughter in an extremely aggressive manner while they were staying at the same hotel. He said that the daughter recognized Chapel and simply walked past the singer's table to confirm it was her, prompting the security guard to approach the table to tell his wife and the child that they're being disrespectful and that they harass people or whatever. Right now, I'm going to actually he put out an Insta story. I'm going to try to read everything. Girl, bear with me, child, because these words are small and, you know, my dyslexic works harder, honey. It says, I went through a very upsetting situation with my family earlier today. My wife is in Sao Paulo this morning. My daughter woke up incredibly excited. She's even made a sign because she was so happy to see an artist that she really admires and used to admire, Chapel Rome. By coincidence, they're staying at the same hotel as the artist. During the breakfast, artist walked past the table. My daughter, like any child, recognized her, got excited, and wanted to make sure it was really her. And the worst part is she didn't even approach her. She simply walked past the singer's table, looked to confirm it was her, smiled, and went back to her mom. She didn't say anything, didn't ask for anything. What happened next was completely disproportionate. I feel like the girl from America's Next Top Model. Magnetic? Like, what? You mean to say disrespectful? A large security guard came over to their table while they were still having breakfast and began speaking in an extremely aggressive manner, both my wife and my daughter. Honestly, I don't know what point simply walking past a table and looking to see if someone is there can be considered harassment. He even said that he would file a complaint against them with the hotel while my 11-year-old daughter was sitting there in tears. My daughter was extremely shaken and cried a lot. I lived with football, public exposure, and well-known people for many years, and I understand very well what respect and boundaries are. What happened there was not that. It was a child admiring someone. It's sad to see this kind of treatment coming from those who should understand the importance of fans. At the end of the day, they are the ones who build all of this. I sincerely hope this serves as a moment of reflection. No one should have to go through this, especially a child. Without your fans, you would be nothing. And to the fans, she does not deserve your affection. I'm going to try to be empathetic to everybody in the situation, right? Little child definitely does not deserve to be talked to by a security guard like that. If that was the case, I understand, looking back and reflecting from my video talking about Chapel Room, I understand that boundaries is an important thing. And it is a little bit, you know, when you're off, when you're not working, you don't want, you know, it's just like somebody trying to call my phone, trying to ask about, you know, the stuff that I do at my job. And I'm off the clock. I'm home. You get what I'm saying? Got you. You know, it definitely is a thing that, you know, once I'm off my job, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to interact. But you have to understand, too, also that, you know, your job is to be a singer, but your other job is a celebrity that is very influential in a lot of people, a lot of girls, a lot of young girls, maybe some young boys, you know, are looking at you. And when they see you, they want to say something to you. And that's just, that comes with the territory. It simply just comes with the territory. Now, I think that, well, I mean, obviously, I don't know this football player. He's not really that well known. He's just an athlete. But it would have been a different, I think it would have been a different story had they known that this was an athlete's child. And they probably would have changed the tune and maybe she would have even got a little picture out of it. You get what I'm saying? But I think that they assumed that this was like a regular person. If the child just walked past your table just to see that it was you, it seems like the child understands your boundaries. That's probably why, because any other child would have probably been like, oh, can I get an autograph? Can I get this? Can I get this? You get what I'm saying? So the fact that she had that understanding and just wanted to just see if it was you, got a little excited, and then just went back to her table, for you to sit there and get your punk ass security guard to try to humble the child and the child's mother. And I imagine the football player was not present because it would have took a different turn. Okay. It wouldn't have been that crazy. But for you to get your security guard to do that, that's very cowardly and it's very icky. You know, it's just very icky. It's very icky. I heard that she was like after the event that happened, like she did her, because she was doing Lollapalooza, she was doing that show, and she thanked her security guard and stuff like that. And you know, I guess I'm not sure if she caught wind of the conversation that's going on social media with it, but poor taste, poor timing. And Chapel, you know, just go back, just stop being famous then. Stop making music. Stop doing it. If you don't want this, then you should leave. I mean, she said it herself. She said, I don't know if we're going to tour again. I hope not. Okay. Child, you doing all this. It's really career suicide, because at the end of the day, your fans are going to, you know, some of the fanatics are still going to be, you know, on your side and this, that, and the third. But fans don't forget how you treat them. And that little girl was a fan of yours. And she probably, girl, I was about to say something else. I was about to say 13th. That was her 13th reason. No, that's not her 13th reason. But, you know, you probably made an enemy that day, child. She probably will always shade the hell out you, child, after that. And, you know, that is kind of traumatizing. You know, I can only imagine seeing my favorite celebrity at the time. It was Nikki. And if she would have did that, like, that's horrible. You know, and this is a child. It's one thing that you're doing this to, like, regular people, regular grown fans. But when you start doing that type of it, I'm just waiting for that next album to flop, child, so we can forget about you like we forgot about Olivia Rodrigo. Oh, I'm sorry, Olivia. I didn't mean for you to catch that stray, but you was a good example. Okay, so as I was taping this show, Chapel Room responds to the whole situation in a very nonchalant way. And yes, I'm saying nonchalant because she casually just sitting in her bed like, oh my God, that's terrible. Like, we're going to play it and then I'm going to give you guys my thoughts.
I'm just going to tell my half of the story of what happened today with a mother and child who were involved with a security guard who is not my personal security. I didn't even see a woman and a child. Like, I did not, no one came up to me. No one bothered me. Like, I was just sitting at breakfast in my hotel. I think these people were staying at the hotel as well. So the fact that, like, a security guard I did not ask the security guard to go up and talk to this mother and child. they did not come up to me. They weren't doing anything. It's unfair for security to just assume someone doesn't have good intentions when they have no reason to believe, because there's no action even taken. Like, I do not hate people who are fans of my music. I do not hate children. Like, that is crazy. I'm sorry to the mother and child that someone was assuming something, that you would do something, and that if you felt uncomfortable, that makes me really sad. You did not deserve that.
She's full of shit. And the thing about it is, though, whether that was your personal security or not, because funny how she was like, that's not my personal security. Let me just make that very clear. Yeah, but these security guards have a preconceived notion of basically what is asked of you to do in the circumference of these celebrities. Security guards, especially your security guards, because you're very high strung, are told to tell people to not interact and to respect the boundaries of you. Okay. Whether you actually initiated the security guard to go over to that woman's table and to tell them off or not, it still falls under you, because you have those expectations for these security guards. So my whole thing is, you just casually and nonchalantly just saying, well, you know, just absolving yourself from the situation and saying, you do not deserve that. I do not hate my children fans. I do not hate children. Cool beans. But really, this is this isn't framed as an apology video, of course. And you didn't claim it to be that, but like, what? Like, what even was this? What was the point of you even getting on here if you're just going to say that? You know, like I said, there's people, it's very mixed comments. It's very mixed reaction. Half the people are with it. Other half are like, yeah, we see right through it. And I see right through her. And at the end of the day, I don't care how many of these Chaperone fans want to sit there and get in my comments and say, oh my goodness, like y'all don't understand boundaries and give me a dissertation on parasocial relationships. I understand how toxic and bad parasocial relationships can be. But if I just wanted to acknowledge the fact that, you know, my goodness, I just saw a celebrity, or maybe I just want something, if you want to sign something, and even if you do say no, you have every right to say no, you have every right to be like, no, not today. But like, for you to sit there and just, I just can't with this woman. I can't with this woman. I'm sorry. She is done. I need her to be done. I need her to be out the limelight as soon as possible, like immediately. Because she is just a bore. Anyway, back to the regularly scheduled episode. Anyway, that's that on that. I don't have nothing too much else to say. Shout out to T.S. Madison, who received a good win this week, okay? The Gilmore County judge has denied bond for Naquan Palmer, a.k.a. the DL Whisperer, a.k.a. Little Miss Three Braids. And yes, I'm still talking about it because y'all still harassing me in my comments saying, oh, he was right. He was right. He ain't gonna go to jail. T.S. gonna go to jail. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who is still in jail as we speak? Now, T.S. Madison's hairstylist recounts during the hearing that Palmer admitted to no bond amount would stop him from getting at T.S. Madison. This man is still has no remorse and will do what he does until he gets what he wants. Subsequently, the judge denied his bond after reviewing additional supporting evidence. Madison's management later took to X, stating that the bond was denied today, reflecting the seriousness of this matter and prioritizing safety and accountability. Now, T.S. Madison remains protected, focused, and moving forward with clarity and strength as we respect the legal process to proceed with direction and resolve. Hey, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. I don't know how else to dice it or slice it. It is what it is. I think, you know, they presented more evidence. I think what really did it for me, right? Because I saw T.S. Madison go live on all platforms and talk about, like, she was having all types of screen shares and video recordings. I didn't even know that this punk, and I don't mean punk, I mean P-U-N-K, okay, punk, as in cowardly, a coward. and freaking weird, sat up there and said, I would beat T.S. Madison so bad that she will start to have a seizure. What in the Dahmer is that? That sounds like some serial killer shit. I think he needs the full 10 years. I mean, they say he can get up to 10 years and he need to get the full 10 years actually, but tack on five more. Like, that is crazy. You don't mess with stalking. You don't mess with stalking. And yes, people got mad at me because I tried to equate the whole Rihanna situation, the shooting up the house with T.S. Madison situation. It is very much the same. These people did not know each other. And this man tried to go up to this person's house to try to do some bodily harm. Sorry. It is what it is. I wanted to give my kudos to Miss T.S. Madison. And hopefully that this will be done with this person. This Naquan Palmer. Okay. Anyway, why is Shine doing a damn media circuit to try to discredit Brandy? Now, I understand why he probably want to come for Ray J and stuff like that. Cause like, girl, like, what are we doing? But after they did that podcast thing where they talked about how like Mace and Shine were at one point were dating Brandy at the same time or whatever on their podcast, Brandy did come out with a statement basically saying that these are platonic relationships. She said, in the late 90s, I had platonic friendship with a rapper, Shine. An unfortunate turn of events, that friendship is now being mischaracterized as dating. Unequivocally, we did not. I'm not sure why an untrue narrative about a scope of what was a friendship for more than 20 years is being reshaped during this current media interviews. I'm not reading all that, child. You over there using all them big words and shit. She said it ain't true. Now, he makes a response. First of all, he's one of the TMZ people probably talked to him, child. That's what he said, child.
Brandy, why did she release that statement?
I don't know what is wrong with her. I spoke from a place of admiration.
Right.
And a place of reminiscing on my experience with her, which I didn't care to highlight the negatives. It was only positive. And the conclusion of our experience helped me to make a classic album. But I will say that I never lied to Oprah. She lied to Oprah about being married and had to go on Oprah and apologize because she said she did that to protect her image. So,
do you think she just doesn't want to be associated with you?
I don't know. I can't get in her mind. I'm just saying that.
Okay. First of all, you saying that it was uplifting. You said that she was dating the both of y'all at the same time. What does that make her look like? Makes her look like a hoe. What in terms of endearment is that? He also got on the Way Up show, still talking about the situation, child. You know, Angela, you always gonna get her interviews, child. And
this Brandy, this is the same Brandy that went on Oprah and said that she was doing married the same when she wasn't, and had to go back on Oprah and apologize for lying because she felt that she had to protect her image and didn't want to be a mother out of wedlock. So Brandy has proven that she would say whatever in order to protect whatever she thinks should be her public persona. I have never done that. Mm-hmm. I never lie. I have no need to lie. And the context in which I spoke about her was actually giving her flowers and praising her, but nothing that I said about
giving her flowers and praising her. Do we need to look back at the damn podcast? Cameron puts Mace and Shine on blast, dating Brandy at the same time, had no idea she was my dream person. I mean, maybe Shine was trying to give her a little bit of props, and maybe the other guys were trying to like shade it, but like, you were in an environment, you were in a freaking male-led podcast talking about how Brandy was dating two people at the same time. That just never looks good. That never makes the woman in the situation look good. It makes them look like a harlot. So that's why she felt away. That's why Ray J felt away. But you doing this media circuit, don't put him on any more damn interviews. Don't put him on any damn interviews, especially if you're gonna talk about the same thing, child. That is crazy. That is so crazy. That was a small topic. I wanted to add that in there. Also, Doja Cat sends her dad gay corn. Okay, after claiming that he would not be attending her her Africa show. I'm just going to play the audio of this because, actually, no, I got the video.
He said, "Darling, what is this? This I what I'm seeing is gay." I was messaging my father because he's here in Africa, and he said that he couldn't make it to my show because I don't message him enough, and I didn't call him on WhatsApp. So I sent him gay porn. And they said, if you go to this link, you can get a ticket. It's super duper easy. He's at work, right? And he's working. And so he just keeps on messaging me. And he says, I'm just very busy right now. I sent him the website again. He said, what is the website? Because we were messaging each other. And he said, darling, what is this? What I'm seeing is a gay on my screen. And I don't know if it's a scam, because I feel like they're scamming here. So please, sweetheart, I don't know what to do with this. I can't get the ticket.
Not the way she did the accent. What is this? What is this? This is gay porn. Something is wrong with Doja Cat. Something is really wrong with Doja Cat. But you know what? I wanted to talk about this because it's just like, you're Doja Cat. When I say this, this may come from a person of privilege because I had two parents. Well, Doja got privileged. Child. She rich as hell. She Doja Cat. So whatever. But I did come up in a two-parent household. But I always, and what I'm about to say, I just need y'all to take it with a grain of salt. I need y'all to take it with a grain of salt. I just never understood, and maybe it's just because of my own privilege of being in a two-parent, you know, having two parents or whatever. I never understood the yearning to be wanting to be in somebody's face when they clearly don't want to be in yours. Like, I've always, and this is not even just like when we're talking about like family members, parents, whatever, friends, you get what I'm saying? Other cousins, other relatives. Like, if they don't want to see you or if they don't want to be in your life, why do we still at that point chase after them? Like, I remember Offset was like that too. Like, he begged his dad. Like, he gave his dad money to spend time with him. Kevin Hart kind of, I don't know if Kevin Hart did the same thing, but it's something similar to that situation, you know? And I do apologize if I come from a place of privilege when I say this, but it just, why do y'all do that? Because everybody's been rejected. Whether it's been from a parent or a lover, a friend, a this, that, and the third. But like, when it gets to a point where it's just like, okay, these people it's good that they want to keep themselves scarce because maybe they're just not a good person. Maybe they wouldn't treat me right if they feel obligated to have this relationship with me. And it's clear that, you know, I'm looking at people in the comments, they're saying, you know, she just wants his love. And I get that. That is something that I will never know. But at the same time, but let's be clear, just because somebody's in the household don't mean that you got good relationships with said parents. Now let's talk about that. You know, sometimes and I saw this somewhere in another podcast. Sometimes it's good when the dad is deadbeat because maybe the dad don't need to be there. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes they need to be scarce because they can't be the person that you need them to be. And I think that's what's going on with this moment. This person cannot, even at your highest part of life, you are a successful, declarated rapper. You get what I'm saying? You're touring Africa. There's no, they ain't asking for no damn child support. I mean, obviously, you know, she just wants time and you still like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And for the people in the comments talk about you can't blame an African. You can't sit there and blame the African father that's not in the child's life because there's always something going on. There's always some stipulations. Man, fuck that. If you really was down for your child, you'll be in your child's life. He clearly does not want to be, even at the height of her career, he does not want to spend time with you. He does not want to see you in concert. I don't know if it's because he doesn't care for you or maybe it's because of guilt. And he doesn't want to look like the parent that just showed up after the child bigged up, you know, that they got a big height in their life. But Doja, you got to stop doing that, honey. We at this point, if you don't want to be in my life, you can go. You can be scarce. You can, you know, and it's just the only child in me that's just like, I came in this world alone. I'm going to die alone. I've been alone. You get what I'm saying? It's just me. And it's just really the rest of the world. That's how I view life. And I understand that people may not have that viewpoint. And I do apologize for anybody that may have gotten triggered by what I said, that were in a one parent household that wanted that relationship with that parent that was not present. I definitely feel like you deserve that. Everyone deserves that. But sometimes when you don't get that, just like some people may want their parent to be a certain type of way, sometimes your parents just cannot be what you need them to be. And we need to take that realization and just move on. I don't know. But anyway, that we got a little serious a little bit on the episode, child. No hate to Doja. It looks, if she would have sent the man gay corn, child, look, that's your coping mechanism, girl. Go ahead. Anybody blaming you. But I do want to move on. And I want to talk about something that we always rears its ugly head. The one of Tyler Perry's little helpers is wilding online. Okay, Xavier Smalls from the Beauty in Black show on Netflix. Yeah, he got into some hot water this week, basically saying that people in the LGBT community may not go to heaven. They may not go. We may not go. You know, it's a possibility that we sit in and we'll be damned to hell. You know, hey, let me read this excerpt. It says that Tyler Perry's Beauty and Black star Xavier Smalls is facing criticism after an IG live clip resurfaced of him sharing his religious views. In the clip, he says that God will not allow the LGBT community, people, and others who live in sin into heaven. Okay, in one of his quotes, not because God doesn't love you, but he's so holy, he can't dwell with unholy people. And that goes for other sinners, not just the LGBT community. This is a little bit what this motherfucker said.
Like, he wouldn't send me to hell. Yes, God does love you, right? But he loves all his children. Whether you're an atheist, whether you curse him, whether you live in sin, whether you drunk, smoke weed, whether you do whatever, he still loves you, right? But he'll send you to hell, because when you die, there's only two places, right? And if you live in sin on this earth, he's so holy, he's so grand beyond our imagination, you can't kick it with him in heaven. Not because Mariah Chapo got loose again, you got a time better. Not because he doesn't love you, but because he's so holy, he can't dwell with unholy people. And that goes for other sinners. Scoffers, mockers, liars, all things that are an abomination. It's not just the LGBT. It's if you're a drunk, like if you're an alcoholic, if you are a murderer. Like, these are all sins that...
Time and time again, we always go back and forth to this conversation every single time. Every time somebody wants to talk about religion, every time somebody wants to talk about what's going to happen into the afterworld, or what to humble people that are not living how they should be living, it always resorts back to, well, you know, the LGBT community, you guys are just really... And it's always somebody with some frail ass braids to say some shit. Okay, I'm going to be frank. You are selling your body to the highest bidder on the gayest show on Netflix. And you talk and you saying that I'm going to hell. You saying that I'm going to hell. If I'm going to hell, I know I'm going to see your ass, your beige ass there as well. What you thought this is, what, gay for pay? You didn't think that still considered? And yes, I'm saying gay for pay, even though he's playing a person that is playing a stripper that's gay for pay. The act is still done. Okay. And that's not looked at in the highest regards of the you know, overlord. You get what I'm saying? So no, you don't have the authority first to tell what anybody is doing or what anybody's going in the afterlife. You're making this live while you're actually sinning in actual real time. Yes, they say judgment is not generally considered a sin if it's a righteous judgment, but this is filled with malice, hypocrisy, and a harsh condemnation of others' faults while ignoring your own. Okay, look, if you wanted to soft roll out the fact that Tyler Perry was touching on you, then make it just be about that. Don't come for the community. Don't bring the community in your shit. Okay, if that's what the situation is, then that's what the situation is. I do wonder, you know, I do wonder if he knows that we know how he got this role and it's not for the acting, perhaps his talents elsewhere. And y'all have to stop making choices in y'all career that y'all later regret. You know, y'all need to go speak to God, seek counsel with God. And don't bring this to social media. You need to unpack a lot of things. And there's a lot of fake Christians out there. You sit up there, you sin all week, and then you try to repent on Sunday, ask for all the forgiveness while repeating the cycle over and over again. And, you know, he's not even saying the God's honest truth anyway, because it's like, God don't put you to hell. The notion is that you put yourself there because of your actions and stuff like that. So you're not even getting the words right. You over here, you reading half of the book and try to tell everybody what the book is saying. Okay, you read the last, you know what people say, read the first four chapters, I'm going to read the last three chapters. You read the last three chapters, or you read the scriptures that you wanted to read, the scriptures that spoke to you and spoke to your vices, so that you can tell other people what they're doing wrong with their lives. I don't know if it's to get famous. I don't know if he's trying to get out of his contract with Tyler Perry. You get what I'm saying? I don't know what it is, but you need to figure that shit the hell out. Okay. Cause it's really not giving. You're not even that much of a good actor to be even on that type time. Honestly, I don't know. I think that some dudes that play, and this is why people say people like straight people should not play gay roles. Straight people, air quotes. I'm using that very loosely, air quotes, with this person. But this is why they shouldn't play these roles, because they have an epiphany and they understand the error in their ways. And they're like, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have did this. I'm cursed now because I played this role. And yada, yada, yada. I need to get right with God. Don't make it about the community, child. You regretted doing this role because, honey, this Beauty in Black, and I am watching, girl, it's a guilty pleasure. I'm sorry. This Beauty in Black is soft corn. We've seen meat. The sex scenes is a little bit more than 5 minutes. And I'm just like, okay, like how we... Like even the scenes with him, and it's a lot. It's more gruesome than Heated Rivalry. Okay. And I felt like Heated Rivalry was number soft porn. Okay. But like, man, I mean, I get it. You probably regret this role, whatever, but you know, we all have choices in life. You made that choice. You made the conscious decision to play this role. Don't backpedal now. Don't backpedal now. Okay, it just straight men really piss me off, child. They do, and you know, if there's any straight guys that are watching this show, I mean, I imagine you probably are one of the good ones. I hate saying good ones. You guys are the ones that understand. You get what I'm saying? So I'm not talking about y'all, but I'm talking about the ones that are like this, the ones that are like Xavier Smalls, child. Anyway, I don't have much else to say about this character. I do want to talk about Dwight Howard because there is more information that, you know, has come out with the baby mom. Now, according to, and let's be clear, I'm keeping my foot on this jigga neck. Okay, let's be very clear on that. So according to the Neighborhood Talk, things are getting messier surrounding Dwight Howard after the mother of the daughter came forward with some serious claims. What the 15-year-old has allegedly been dealing with. In a post online, she says that her daughter has been emotionally drained and spoke up about feeling neglect, lonely, and unsafe. But instead of getting support, she claims that Dwight removed her from school, changed her phone number, and cut off communication. Now, she also alleges that the daughter was pulled from her volleyball and basketball teams after speaking to coaches and later enrolled in a new school that Dwight attended growing up. According to her, the move was intentional and meant to control the situation. The mother says that she stayed quiet for years to protect her child, but now she believes her daughter has reached a breaking point. She claims that the teen has said that she wants to live with her and even backed it up with a signed statement. They had like an affidavit that they also posted suggesting that money and connections have helped keep things quiet, adding that it isn't just about image. It's about a child who she says is crying for help. You know, I feel bad for this child because she has to live with this freaking demon. She has to live with this demon that just does not know how to stop. And my whole thing is, you would think that, you know, his lifestyle and him being like this bachelor and doing all types of controlled substance all around the house and stuff like that. Why would you want your kids around? Why would you want kids around? Why would you want kids present? It just boggles my mind. How big of a connection does this man have? Royce Reed said that he has family that's heavily into politics and connections with, you know, law enforcement and stuff like that, whatever the case is. But like, that much protection over what? Over what? A retired NBA star that probably is freaking draining his money with narcotics and other nefarious sexual devious things that he's probably doing? And at what cost is the justice system? I mean, the justice system has failed every child that lives in that house. It just makes no sense. Like, what state are they in? Because y'all are, it's really crazy over there. And the whole fiasco with Luciana, wherever the hell that girl name is, over here outside saying that she's being locked out of the house. The girl can slide literally either under the gate or through the gate because the gates don't even meet. Like, it's just a lot. It's a lot of just weird, icky, just weird stuff. I think every kid needs to be out of that house. Be by yourself. And if it really is because you don't want to pay child support, I mean, just pay child support. You ain't even got to deal with the hassle of, you know, child protective services at your door and stuff like that. And you want to be discreet and do your dirt. Like, just have the child with their mothers. Pay the damn child support and just move on, child. If you got the money like that, I mean, it seems like you do, because it seems like, you know, things are still moving and shaking over there with the Howards. Anyway, child, like I said, I'm gonna keep my foot on his goddamn neck. We are going to continue to cover stories with Dwight Howard because, honey, it's a whole lot of tomfoolery, okay, going on. Speaking of tomfoolery, let's talk about Lotto. Yeah, girl, your girl is pregnant, honey. She is preggers. Now, Lotto announces her first pregnancy with 21 Savage. She dropped the announcement with some new music. I guess she's dropping a project. At first, I was like, okay, shout out to her. You know, she's pregnant, this and the third, you know, okay. I'm not those people to be like, oh my gosh, she's not married. Look, things happen. But then I found out that 21 Savage is allegedly married. Okay, well, several reports say that he was or is married to Kiana Johnson, possibly around 2020, but this has never clearly been confirmed publicly. 21 Savage does live a private life. I mean, we didn't even know that the dude was an immigrant. Okay, that he was actually from the UK, I believe. At the time, he's been in a long-term relationship with Lotto, which became more open in 2025. As of 2026, his exact marital status still is unclear or private, even amid the news of the relationship with Lotto and their rumored possible child. So yeah, I got that from a source that before we found out she was pregnant, she's pregnant. Happy for you, Buki. Happy for you, girl. And she looks very far along and like she could pop at any moment. So she's been hiding this from the public for a minute, but the man is married. And people were coming for her. Like, this ex-football player, Le'Veon Bell, He says Lotto just announced that she's pregnant by a married man with 3 kids and made it part of her album rollout. And that's who's today's women look up to. We're doomed. Okay, sir. You didn't have to say it like that. I think it was a right message, wrong messenger. Here's my thing, because there's a lot of people talking about her. There's a lot of people clowning her. There's a lot of people calling her like a homewrecker and stuff like that. Now, from my understanding, he is married, but like he's still married because he still is dealing with things with his citizenship status. I think him being still married to this person, allegedly, is still giving him citizenship in some way. But I mean, Trump already ruled out that, like, he kind of like the whole citizenship if you're married thing, that's kind of like outlawed now. So like, what's the point of you still being married to this person? And I do think that, I'm going to say this, so just calm down. For I get people in the comments like, no, you can't do that as a woman. Okay, maybe they are working on a divorce. Did we ever think that they were in the process of a divorce? And when you're in a process of a divorce, you may be talking to somebody. You may be having somebody on the side. And in that process of divorce, like, I'm not going to call her a homewrecker because, I mean, the woman that he is allegedly married to isn't really coming out and saying that, yeah, she took my man. So it's clear that this is an estranged wife that he's probably trying to finalize what they need to finalize, and then they can move on and he can move on with Lotto or whatever the case is. I just think that we just go quick to judging a little bit too much. I mean, but if she did kind of steal that man from that girl, then you are like a terrible person. Like, and then for you to sit there and make your whole thing of like, oh, big mama, no kids, you know, talking about how you're doing everything the right way and that I'm not going to be a statistic. And you became a statistic. You got a side baby. You know, it's just, that's what Tasha K called it. She called her a side baby. I'm like, girl, y'all are too mean. Y'all are too mean in these damn internet streets. Okay. Shout out to Lotto. I hope she has a very successful and good pregnancy. I have nothing against that. I think we just need to lead a little bit more into empathy with some people. Like, come on. We don't know what the situation is. It's not even confirmed if he is married. It's still alleged. So imagine if this man really is not married and y'all really just came for Lotto. Yeah, y'all need to calm the hell down. But anyway, that's that on that. I don't want to dwell on this topic a little bit too much. But speaking of divorce and marriage and all that stuff, Candy was also a topic. Now, see, they reached a settlement in their divorce, and now more information has come out. Recent reports indicate that Candy Burris and Todd Tucker reached a final divorce settlement in 2026, in March of 2026, while official court documents are being finalized for submission for March 20th, 2026. Several media outlets have released details that allege financial agreement. Candy will allegedly pay Todd Tucker a one-time settlement of $2 million. Todd will reportedly take full custody of their joint restaurants, such as Old Lady Gang and Blaze and Seafood. That is so messed up. The Old Lady Gang, which wouldn't even be a thing if it wasn't for Candy's mom and aunts. But you know what? He kind of did that. That was his child. He did, like, when I watched Candy and the Gang, like, he managed that restaurant more than Candy did. So, I mean, you know what? Fine. Off some technicality. Okay, cool. Candy will retain her primary residence, and Todd is expected to vacate the guest house and relinquish any claims of property. Candy will reportedly cover all major expenses with their children. Additionally, Todd is expected to receive monthly child support between $10,000 and $20,000. Dollars monthly, which is linked to his role as the expected primary custodial parent. Girl, you got Mary J. Blige. You got Mary J. Blige. You got to pay this man $2 million, one, and then the child support between $10,000 and $25,000. Like, how to get away with murder? You know, at this point, how to get away with murder? Okay, what is going on? And then Candy also revealed that she wanted to keep the divorce information and stuff like that sealed, and the other parties just did not want to partake in that. Here's the clip of that. Let's listen.
Why did you feel like you had to tell everybody that you were going through this, that, and the third, or every step in the process of your divorce?
Well, well, the thing is, I wanted to seal our divorce, meaning like seal our paperwork, yeah. So every time something was filed, it wouldn't be public.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
They, on the other side, chose not to. Mm. So for me, it's like every time something is filed, then the bloggers get it, the people are talking about it, and they're able to, you know, say what they want about, create their own story from whatever is filed. You get what I'm saying?
Oh.
So for me, it's like, sometimes, yeah, I want to talk about it. I didn't say as much as I really have wanted to say.
Right.
Because overall, it's like, you know, sometimes when some of that stuff is filed and, you know, people are running with it, it's annoying.
That is
you know,
crazy.
You want to be like, nah, but see.
Right.
Of course, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, you know, it's already public. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But, and then in the very beginning, when I first filed, I thought that, you know, people would say something about it, you know, like the day that it was filed, but I thought it was going to kind of fade.
Go away.
Okay. But then it was like,
oh man,
bigger, way bigger than I'm sure either one of us expected it to be. Well, definitely more, talked about it than
you
I
really
expected.
Thought it was going to, like, again, y'all are my friends. And I was like, what? So people, you know what I'm saying? Like people who watch the show, who grew up with you, who've grown with you, who've watched the, you know what I'm saying? So they're invested. You know what I'm saying? And I actually know you. And I'm like, oh, come on. You know what I'm saying? So I expected people to really want to be in the business. I thought they would be more in the business than they were.
Yeah.
But you don't have to necessarily let them in, all, you know what I'm saying, all the time. But like, I guess
you ain't supposed to let them in. Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
If you had stuff that was every time something being filed, you know.
It's public knowledge.
Knowledge. And you got bloggers just waiting. Like, we literally would have a court session.
Yeah.
And bloggers were logging on and were on our Zoom court.
You've got to be kidding me.
I promise you. I promise you.
Okay, so
like,
now
they would file to be pressed in our Zoom court.
So
I'm sitting there, and you know how you on Zoom. Zoom is very personal. It's not like you just in the room and people off in the back. Like, you're literally in my face.
Right.
I'm looking at you.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I feel so bad for Candy. It just gets to a point though when you start thinking about things. Was this always your end game? Was this always the end game? Cause like he getting two million of my dollars. And you can say that yes, Todd was the management behind Candy Burris. You can say that Todd did contribute to Candy, but $2 million, not even just, maybe. Okay. I wouldn't feel that bad because I feel like Candy got it. $2 million. Fine. The child support. That's going to eat at Candy, but Candy got the money. But me personally, you know, the Mr. Krabs in me seeing about $10,000 to $25,000 go to a nigga that is not deserving. You know, that really has to sting. Like, that really, like, I know that has to sting. I feel really bad for Candy. I hope that, and them kids are young. Them kids that they had together are young. So she's going to be paying this man for a long time, and she's not stopping anything to be like the custodial parent. She still got to go out and make these checks and make this money to get him. Whew. Like I said, you done Mary J. Blige yourself. You done Mary J. Blige yourself. Now you gonna be working till you 80, 90 possibly, or whenever these kids turn 18. At least you don't gotta pay child spousal support now. Spousal support, that's what Mary J. Blige got. That's what she had. And that's why I think she's still paying that man to this day. I think the agreement was she was supposed to pay that man till he get married. He ain't getting married ever again. He ain't getting married ever again. I'm getting a lifelong check. Girl. Yeah. And it just goes, it's a telltale. It's a telltale. You gotta watch who you marry. You gotta watch who you lay in bed with. You people are out to get you, and they will act like they are the saviors. They will act like they are down for you and that they will never do these things. We should have all known and should have pointed out that red flag. Even Candy should have pointed out that red flag when he didn't want to sign that damn prenup. That he's now saying that, oh, I was backed into a corner. I was backed into a corner. Bitch, you wasn't backed into no goddamn corner. You know how this shit work. I'm a famous housewife of Atlanta with a lot of money. And you are a producer. You big bank take little bank. And you ain't gonna fuck up my... Now, it's good that she did have him do that prenup, because I think it would have been more of a bloodbath if he didn't sign a prenup. Because I think he probably would have got her for spouse support. So I think he made sure she got he made sure they had two kids, or at least more than one. It just really goes to show. It really just goes to show. I think that this was planned. This was always going to happen. This is his end game, and this is who he really is. I think that he loved Candy. I think that he liked Candy. I think he may have liked the idea, but I got to get this check. But I gotta get this watch. Bling, bling, bling. Like, bitches is mad. Girl, I can't. Y'all will tell me what y'all think about that in the comments. We can move on to our last topic. I didn't want to make this the last topic because I didn't want y'all to wait. But I wanted to talk about Justin Bieber and Usher. Oh, my God. Well, here's the thing. I'm going to read this excerpt from The Horse's Mouth. That is TMZ. They say that Usher and Justin Bieber got into an altercation at the Oscars after party hosted by Beyonce and Jay-Z. TMZ say this. They said, "We have heard people talking about the incident between Usher and Justin, with some saying that it ended up in a fist fight between the two," which is confirmed. That's not to be true. There's no evidence of it being a fist fight. But sources connected to Justin tell TMZ that Usher came up to Justin at the party with energy and anger, and the two got into a heated exchange. Others say that Bieber sources say that there was no physical contact, but it was very intense. We have now blown up Usher's camp to see if there was any consistent story, but they have not heard back. Usher's team is not going to speak. Usher is very much, I'm not saying he's a Diddy bopper, like Jaguar would like to say, but, you know, I think that his management and his team is very much like sealed any type. Even when the whole situation when he was going back and forth and allegedly he fought Chris Brown, or I think Chris Brown probably beat his ass, they kept that very sealed and he didn't want to really talk about that. And he tried to, like, Usher is the type, an incident will go down and Usher will act like it never happened. So I don't see them speaking at all. But we're told that Justin has been trying to erase everyone in his past. And one source connected to Justin Bieber told us that he always has been rude to Usher. Still is unclear what the argument was about, though we're told that it didn't drag on. There could be lots of celebrities that were in witness. I mean, Beyonce, Jay-Z was there. There was a lot of celebrities, to name a few, that witnessed that situation. I said in the comments of the TMZ, I said, oh, it's happening. Oh, it's happening. And everything going forward when I talk about this topic is all speculation. It's all alleged. This is what I think. This is what I believe, what I gather, that what I infer, because we don't know what really is going on. But I have an idea. I think many of us has an idea of what could be going on. And I definitely feel like this situation is linked to Diddy. It all leads back to Diddy and what they did to Justin, or what, because something happened to him. Something happened to Justin. I remember those weird videos of Diddy and Justin Bieber and just him saying, oh, I'm going to give you a new car. I'm going to give you a car.
Right now, he's having 48 hours with Diddy, him and his boy. They're having the times of their lives, like, you know, where we hanging out and what we doing. We can't really disclose, but it's definitely a 15-year-old's dream, and we're going to go full, buck full crazy. Buck full crazy.
Starting to act different, huh? You ain't been calling me and hanging out the way we used to hang out.
Well, I mean, you try to get in contact with me, you know, through all my, you know, business, you know, partners and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But you never really got my number, so.
Right, okay.
My number?
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you my number.
Stuff like that. And it to me, there was always something looming, some type of weird ulterior motive with that whole debacle. I mean, the fact that Usher founded Justin and at one point that was one of his artists, but really it was never Usher that was pulling the strings. It was always Diddy. And it's just, it was, like I said, it was just a weird exchange. Back in the day, back when everything was fresh, we all thought that, Usher was a good, you know, is a good person. I mean, he got kids, he got, you know, situations or whatever. But when you look into like the whole situation with Diddy, like Diddy had Usher as a young child. You know, he was young when he signed Usher, had him in music videos and stuff like that with stripper holes in the video and no telling what he was doing. I think at one point he had guardianship over Usher. And I think that what Jaguar was saying, because like I said, even though I don't believe in Jaguar with a lot of things, when it comes to the Diddy stuff, Jaguar is definitely spot on. I think that Diddy possibly wanted guardianship or had temporary guardianship over Justin. And if that is the case, no telling what was done to this man. Because you can clearly see this is not the same person that we saw back in 2012 or whenever he came out. I think it was 2010, maybe 2011. Just a vibrant, optimistic kid now turned into an adult that really does not seem to still be there. You know, I think something definitely went down. I can't put my finger on it. Everything I said is speculation. Maybe in that moment, he was coming for Usher. Because Usher was not, must have did. I'm not saying that Usher did something to him. Maybe Usher put him in a compromising position. And, you know, we can't blame Usher for everything because Usher was groomed, you know, and the groom becomes the groomer. That's how the whole situation with over there with Epstein and stuff. And it's just really sad. It's really sad. I think that we're never going to know about this situation. I think this topic is going to go nowhere because in order for this topic or the public to figure out exactly why he's beefing or had like this situation with Usher, Justin is going to have to come out and say everything. And I think what's happening now is that now that Diddy is gone, Diddy is in prison, he's not getting out anytime soon. I think Justin is now open to the idea of voicing his grievances. I think we will see that. We might not. Because a lot of celebrities, you know, they gotta keep it quiet. Because you don't know who's working with who, you don't know who's dealing with who. Things could get real sticky. We will see. We will see, and we will definitely follow this story. I don't have anything else to say about it, but other than something is about to go down or something has gone down or whatever the case is. But y'all would tell me what y'all think about that in the comments. We do have a couple of quick topics before we get up out of here. They said Tasha K done put her home for sale, honey. All right. They said Tasha K's home is on sale. I'm in the efforts to pay Cardi B the $4 million. Yeah, it's listed. It's at $875,000. That's her home. Yeah, TS looks better. Bigger and better. People are talking about Jules again, child, because Jules, he just don't know how to keep his goddamn mouth shut. He did an interview basically talking about addressing the misconceptions about him and saying that people used to always say I was because I dressed up as what he dressed up as LL Cool J as like at 12 years old, like grown men was calling him gay and stuff like that. And then still talking about the little situation that happened at that club. I'm like, let me tell you something. And there's people that was in the comments because this is off the Jasmine brand. I had to get in the comments because somebody said, well, they need to leave him alone. They need to leave him alone. I said, honey, he got to stop talking about it. He the one that's still talking about it. He the only one still talking about it. We done set our topics. We done set our think pieces. And we moved on. And, you know, you're still going on streams and doing interviews and talking about, oh, well, you know, they say I'm gay, but then now they saying I'm homophobic. These misconceptions. I'm like, sir. And not to be rude, because that you are the nephew of the queen of pop. I don't care what nobody has to say about that. With much respect. But you're not that famous. And we just need to go to New York Fashion Week, put on some nice clothes and walk. This is why models don't talk. This is why models don't do all this. Come on, darling, get it together. Anyway, one other topic before I get up out of here, child. Tokyo Toni. That nasty, yuck mouth Tokyo Toni. Let's hear what she had to say. She was talking about her daughter, Angela, or Black China.
Dirty mother. She a dirty motherfucker to me, bitch. I can't stand her ass. I wish I would have got an abortion. I don't give a fuck who says it's harsh. Nah, I wish I would have got an abortion. And if she died a day tomorrow, she going to hell. I told her that too. You can't name one thing she did because she ain't. It's fake. And I realized when I said it the first time, I got the hammer, of course. Anything I give a fuck about getting a hammer? Bitch, I'm Tokyo. Anything I say in my mouth, I can back it up. Bam, bam.
She get. We really shouldn't talk about her, but, you know, she was a topic of discussion. To say that, you know, I should have had an abortion and you center yourself around Christianity and saying, you know, people going to hell and this, that, and the third, and you're so religious, for you to sit there and to say that you should have aborted your child, you know, it's an oxymoron. But, you know, I don't think Tokyo Toni, she's not in her right mind. Like, I think that there's a lot of people talking about her and stuff like that. You're trying to talk about her like she's like a logical person. We need to treat this bitch like she is a person that is crazy in the subway. Like, we need to treat people like this, like an Xavier Smalls, like they are the crazy person in the subway tweaking. Because they don't make any sense. They don't make any sense. They're fighting for their lives. She probably asked Black China for $20 and she said no because she was trying to get her next fix. And that's why she said I would not. Nah, nah, that's why she's saying that she wished she aborted you, because she didn't give you $20 so you can go and get your fix. That's why. And that's the issue. We got to start looking at people's intention. That's why she mad at her. And the moment when we start treating people like they are the crazy person tweaking in the subway, we won't hear from these people anymore. We won't hear from them. And that's all I have to say today. Okay, that's all for this episode. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. We done did a whole hour. Happy about it. We'll see what happens after we edit the damn show. Be sure to smash that like button and also leave a comment, because we need those. We need to impact the algorithms across the land, child, and all that good stuff. And I'll see you guys. How do you guys like my videos that I'll be doing throughout the week? Like, I just have like the audio videos where it just shows that I'm gonna start doing that, because I feel like when I get off of work, I'll be looking hit and I ain't got time to be getting all dolled up, child. So I'm going to do more of those videos throughout the weeks to give us, you know, because I feel like I just do the episode and then we kind of, it's like, it's very stale throughout the week because I'm not around, because I only do one episode a week. So we're going to try to make more content over there on YouTube. I've changed my bios on Instagram and TikTok to say that, you know, hey, if you want the full content, you got to come to YouTube, child, because that's where I'm going to be at primarily. Okay, so shout out to y'all for listening. Let's get to 10,000 subscribers. Come on, let's go. And I will talk to you guys next time. All right, bye.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.